Let's kind of hop in here. All right. So what we're talking about is how to choose the perfect weight. And this is one of those really subtle ones that get overlooked. So I think you're going to enjoy this. Whoops. Let's get a, there we go. So there's a quote we start with, right? If you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes, by Mr. Andrew Carnegie here. And so what we're going to do is talk about kind of this goal that, again, sometimes just gets overlooked. And so if we can get it working right, it'll be a lot better for you. Because, you know, really having the proper goal in terms of the weight really has an enormous impact on your motivation. And so we're going to want to check this, because this is kind of really where it all starts from. And, you know, what we're going to go through, kind of a theme here, and I know you've heard me say this before, but really the weight you want to achieve really is a means to an end. Okay. Meaning that it's not the goal weight that you want. It's what you believe you're going to get from being at that goal weight, living at that goal weight. And that's a big distinction to make, a very, very important one. You know, it's kind of the same thing with money. It's not the money you want. It's the things that the money gives you, right? It's the freedom, the adventure, whatever else it may be. And again, it's just a very, very important distinction to make, because when we look at it this way, you'll find that, again, it has a big impact on your motivation. Just being a certain weight is not enough. Right. So we're going to go into, you know, how to change that up here. But again, really one of the core kind of perceptions of it is that the weight really is a means to an end, and is not the end in and of itself. Okay. It needs to be congruent. And what I mean by that, and again, ecology check what that means, that's an NLP phrase, that sometimes when you have a goal that you have set for yourself, and again, weight's one of them. But when you have a goal that you set for yourself and you have struggled to reach it, one of the first things you really want to check is it congruent through and through with you? And so again, we're going to kind of dissect this a bit, but if you have a goal weight that you say you want to weigh, but it doesn't really mean a lot to you, it's kind of like just some goal weight you just picked up somewhere. And in your mind, you're like, wow, to live that weight would be great. But I also know in order to eat that way or to be that weight, I'm going to have to, you know, starve myself and work out all the time, and it's going to be miserable. Right. And so it becomes an incongruent goal, because yeah, the weight might be nice, you think, but the way that you're going to create it isn't. And so it becomes incongruent, and it becomes this kind of struggle, this unconscious struggle in you. And so again, we want to eliminate those, right? Because change is hard enough as it is. We need to be congruent right from the get-go about what it is we're looking to achieve. There's no absolute right answer with this. Okay. So this is another one. You know, again, there's a little bit of science with this for sure, but I think choosing the right weight really is more of almost like an art. And it's really kind of taking into account who you are, your lifestyle, and what really resonates with you. Again, that's what I think is going to give you the best results on this. And, you know, again, we'll get into the specifics of this in a moment, but, you know, when you're choosing a weight, what I would strongly suggest is that you choose a different number than you've been saying, right? So if you know, for the last 20 years have said you want to weigh X amount of pounds, right? And usually that goal weight ends in a zero or a five. Just change it up even by one number, right? It may not sound like a big deal, but for real, it, you know, literally, even unconsciously, it's coded differently. You know, when you say the same number for so long and it never happens, it just becomes, you almost assume, you know, that it's going to be a number that's not going to work for you, that you're going to fail one more time. So literally changing it 1 pound can feel different, right? So that'd be a strong suggestion I'd make to you. So I want to talk about influences for a moment, because when it comes to choosing the proper weight, I find there's a lot of interesting things at play here. And so I think the first one without question really is the culture that we live in. And specifically within that culture, a lot of times where we're getting our ideas of what we should weigh, a lot of times it's from professional actors, athletes, models, right? We see them all the time in our culture, again, which is kind of unusual. Right? If you think about it, before 100 years, before the last 100 years, you know what I mean? Like, there was actors, athletes, and models. Not really. There was actors, right? There was people that played athletes, but It wasn't like it is now. And so they're constantly in our face and it influences us. Okay. But the thing you understand is what are their motivations? You know, if your career depended on your weight, right, it's a different situation. Okay. And so, we don't need to choose our weight based on what they're doing. Right? And sometimes it kind of affects us. So again, we want to look at their motivations. And I also talk about like Photoshop illusions. And again, we all know about what Photoshop is and how literally we're always looking at versions of people that are not real, literally, technically not real. They're Photoshopped. All the imperfections are taken out. Legs are shrunk. Things are changed. And so that's the Photoshop we know. But the other one I want to suggest, and this was something I went through a couple of years ago. So there's the Photoshop we all know with the computer, but there's another version of Photoshop. I almost refer to it as like, it's like natural Photoshop. And what I mean by that is that I remember reading this story about this guy. He was a baseball player. I can't remember his name now, but again, young guy, maybe he's like 25. He's one of the top baseball players in the world. And he was doing this Sports Illustrated body issue, where basically athletes pose naked. And so he was talking about how he prepared for that photo shoot. And so he had prepared for 6 months and it got more and more extreme the closer it got to literally, you know, 3-4 days before he was like cutting weight like fighters do, like starving himself, you know what I mean? Draining all the fluid out of his body, literally right up to that exact moment when he was going to get the photos taken. And it really just made clear this idea that, yeah, we know about Photoshop, that typical one and what that means. But another version of it is, if, you know, if I look at that picture of that guy and I say, oh man, you know, I should have abs like that. I should have a body like that. This guy doesn't even have a body like that. He literally lived his life for 6 months on top of the fact that he's a professional athlete, has very specific genetics and he's an athlete that gets paid to be in top physical form. He literally lived 6 months very specifically to get to this one moment in time, this half hour moment in time where he's getting his picture taken. It's not reality even for him. Okay. And so again, a lot of times on a very deep level, we can have these strong beliefs about what we should look like, but a lot of times they're based on things like actors, athletes, models, you know, that we see in the culture. Okay. And so again, the other way that culture really influences is the advertising. And again, a lot of times we're seeing models and they're actors and athletes in those as well. But again, it's, and I'm not saying every actor and athlete and model is unrealistic, you know, physical goal to have. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we're so inundated with it. We're so, you know what I mean? It's such a constant barrage of these images that in so many instances are not real. And it does affect what we think the goal should be for us. Okay. And so again, I just want to talk about where these influences are coming from and we'll give you an alternative way to kind of get to what the goal is going to work for you. The next one is, right, when you were 18, what I mean by this, I can't tell you the number of calls I do where I'm speaking with people, potential clients, and we talk about what their goal weight is. And I can't tell you the number of them where it's like they're thinking about when they were 18, you know, when they were 20, they want to get back to that weight. You know what I mean? It was 30, 40 years ago, and they want to be back to that weight. And again, I'm not saying it's impossible. Okay, but I am saying that weight that you were then may not be the right weight for you now. Again, I'm not telling you it is or it isn't, because this is always your choice. I just want to make explicit that if part of why you're choosing this weight is because that's what you weighed when you were 18, what I want you to bring into it is the question, you know, is that same weight going to serve me now? Am I in the same situation? Do I have the same body? You know, is that what I want to weigh now? Okay. And again, I want to be clear about that. And the other one is parents, friends, and enemies. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, just, it's just people that were around and sometimes there's just conversations. Again, they're influenced by all the things we just talked about, you know, the culture, you know, the advertising, the weight they were when they were younger. Okay. And so ultimately, I think what it all comes down to, I think the simplest way to understand it is sometimes the number that we say and that we've been saying for decades is just basically a suggestion that we picked up somewhere. It could literally be an article you read 30 years ago. It could be one comment your mom said to you. You know what I mean? The point is that it's not well thought out. And it's just a number that just somewhere along the way just stuck. and it may be incongruent, and we may never have achieved it, and we may struggle to reach it, and we don't even know why. Okay, so what I'm suggesting to you is that you give this some thought. This really is the core, you know, of your success, is having a clear, congruent goal that you want to achieve. Okay, so again, I just wanted to talk about some of the places where these influences come from. So this is one of the main ways that again, if you start thinking about what weight you want to be, you're going to look at the BMI charts. Okay. Now, again, as I say, this is a chart. This is a rule of thumb. You know, to be somewhere around here in these numbers, I think is a smart place to start, you know, for sure. You know what I mean? Just to keep this in mind. But again, you can look here and just get a ballpark, a rule of thumb of where you want to be. Right. And so to be in the, you know, the normal range, you know what I mean? That could certainly obviously be a goal for you. Okay. You know what I mean? I think that's a legit goal. So this is a nice place to start. But again, what I want to show you here now is, and again, you can go back to this, or you can just search, you know, BMI charts to get that. But what I want to share with you is the perfect weight equation. It's a pretty simple one. So you're not going to need a calculator for this. But this is how I think you should go at it. Okay. Because again, if we just look at a number, it's typically not going to be enough. So what we want to do is the weight that gives you the best quality of life is your perfect weight. Okay. That it's that simple. And so it's not just a number, right? It's really, you got to start thinking what's going to give you the best quality of life. This question, when you think of it this way, it makes it a much richer experience. It's a much richer journey, okay, than just a number. Most often, and again, you know this because if you have struggled to hit a number for years and been unable to do it, you know, let's face it, right? There's got to be more. There's got to be some more to it. And this is one of the easiest ways to do this. If you start thinking of this in terms of your quality of life, I think you're going to have a much better time choosing the right weight. And again, what's the perfect weight? The one that resonates with you. You know what I mean? The one that you feel will give you the best quality of life. So let's kind of go into that a little bit. What do we mean by best quality of life? I want to bring my finance, you know, background here into this. We want to do kind of a cost-benefit analysis, right? And so simply what that means is we can't just say, I want to weigh X amount of pounds. That's only looking at one side of the equation, right? Because in order to achieve X amount of pounds, you have to live a certain way. And this is the part that a lot of people find. They say, I'm going to lose weight. I want to hit X amount of pounds. And I don't care what I have to do to achieve it. I don't care. Again, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to on the HCG diet, which we're talking 500 calories a day. And so that's when you get in that mindset. I don't care what I have to do. I just want to be X amount of pounds, and whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. And that's when we don't pay attention to what the cost is going to be, what the lifestyle is going to be to create that weight. We really have to look at both of them, and we got to even it out. Okay. And so if being X amount of pounds means you have to eat carrots and celery and drink water all day and starve yourself, that's not a high quality of life, right? Because your whole life becomes about focused and obsessed on food and weight. And I can tell you, I remember, I learned this lesson a long time ago. It was about 20 years ago, and I was experimenting with a raw food diet. And again, it really wasn't about weight loss so much. It was really about, I kind of bought in this whole idea that raw food was the healthiest and had all the enzymes, and when you cook them, you know, it was no good for it. And I was into it, and I believed it, and I started following it, and I felt pretty good physically. You know, I will say that. But mentally and emotionally, I was a wreck. I was obsessed with food. All I did was think about food. And I remember this so clearly. I remember I was driving to work one day, and I was thinking to myself, what the hell am I going to do if I get a promotion? How am I going to celebrate it? I can't go out to eat. And I remember that moment. I said, good Lord. I'm like, I'm going too far here. Again, not because being a raw foodist is right or wrong, but for me, it's not, this doesn't feel right. This isn't the right quality of life for me. I'm thinking so much about food that, you know, again, it's harming my quality of life. So when you're thinking about the weight doesn't exist in a vacuum. You have to live a certain way to achieve that weight. And so you have to take this cost benefit. You've got to look at both sides of the equation, you know, and you got to start thinking to yourself, where do you get the best return on investment of your time and your energy? Okay. And so that's why you can't really start out with just, okay, I want to be X amount of pounds as if it's in this vacuum. I'm going to do that. You have to say, okay, I'd like to get my weight to around here and I'm willing to, you know, change my eating in this way, this way, and this way. Okay. I'm willing to do these things. I'm not willing to do this. And so, let me give you one more example of this. I remember this was last year and, I wanted to drop a couple pounds. I put a few pounds on over the winter, wanted to drop a couple pounds. And so again, my eating is very structured. And so I figured, I looked at my eating and I said, where can I cut out some calories? And so I cut out the lunch calories was the easiest one for me. And it was pretty simple. You know, it wasn't a big deal for me. I did it. And 2-3 months went by and the weight wasn't really budging. And so at that point though, I want to make clear, I said to myself, okay, is it time to start thinking about accepting this extra 5 pounds? Because at that point, there was nothing else I was going to take out. I wasn't going to cut down breakfast. I wasn't going to cut out dinner. I wasn't going to cut any more out of lunch. There was just no more room. Again, there could have been room to cut. I just didn't want to do it. Okay. And so, again, what ended up happening, just so you know, is I switched my lunch. And this was very interesting to me too. I actually added more calories in the form of a very nutrient dense and a high nutrient variety level salad is what I added back into lunch. And that ended up right around when I did that, that's when I started losing the 4 or 5 pounds that I'd put on. So I found that interesting, but that's a story for another day. The point I'm making is this, that it's always about quality of life. I think if you put that front and center, you'll find yourself making much better decisions. And when you make the decisions, you'll find yourself feeling much more congruent motivation to achieve them because all your ducks are kind of lined up in a row. What you don't want is to be where I was when I was doing the raw food thing, where I was like, oh my God, I can't, how long can I do this for? This is miserable. What am I going to do? I'm just thinking crazy. It wasn't a good quality of life for me. Okay. So again, we want to balance things. And what this also means is that, yeah, you start out with a number, you start out with a goal, but you're always looking at both sides. You know, because sometimes, I don't know, you just don't know. Your body changes. Sometimes you do get older and you're not going to be the weight you were when you were 20. You know what I mean? In some cases. And that can be okay too. Okay. So again, it's really about quality of life. Put that front and center. And I think you're going to find that you get much better answers. So when we look at the weight side of it, this is how you get into the best quality of life part of it. Remember, the weight is a means to an end. Okay. This is a very, very important concept. And so, this is where the culture has also given us this message that the weight, just that number, that's where you want to be. And it's weird. It's like, okay, you just want to be that weight, but why? And that's what we want to bring into this. What's better at that goal weight you set for yourself? And can we break it down? You can say to yourself physically, what's better, right? Maybe your knees are more comfortable. Your body feels better. Your lab tests and when you go to the doctors, it's a fun experience and it feels good because you know you're doing the right things, right? Your clothes fit. You like how you look. Okay. So again, physically, you can break it down. Emotionally, right? This is a big one. I kind of put these in order, I think. Again, the physical ones are big, right? Because again, your health, is at play here. So that's really important. You're just healthier. You're lower your risk for a lot of different diseases. But then we get into emotional. And so emotional is such a big deal because this is where you start thinking, okay, if I could live free of this whole weight conversation, this obsession with food, this obsession with weight, if I could be free of that and just live with a sense of confidence and certainty that I could live at this weight and I could live the rest of my life, feeling, proud, happy, comfortable, confident, certain, secure that I could live at this weight and be this person, how would that feel? You see what I mean? But here's the thing too. I'm just going to put this out there. A lot of times what I find people coming back to, when we look at it this way, what's going to be the best quality of life, a lot of time, not every time, but a lot of time what happens is they increase their goal weight. Okay. So I just want to be clear that's an option for you. Sometimes again, we just hold on to a weight for so long and we're not even sure why. And so what I'm telling you is that one of the things you can do is you may find, like I was saying, like last year when I put the 5 pounds on, I changed things up for 3 months. And then I started having the conversation, okay, is it time to move into acceptance mode? Again, because I don't want to cut anything else out. You know, at that point I would start, maybe considering, okay, I'm okay with the extra 5 pounds. Again, I'm still within the a healthy range and I'm fine. Again, I got to a different thing where I changed things up a little bit more and I figured it out. But again, that conversation was one that I would have had with myself. Okay. So emotionally, mentally, right? What I mean by mentally is the freedom, the mental freedom. You know, I always love to ask, potential clients, how much of your day are you spending thinking about food, your weight, right? Your health. And so often the answer is, you know what I mean? They're like 50% of the time, right? They're constantly thinking about it. So what I'm talking about here is when you are living at your goal weight, when you're living at your goal weight, when you have a lifestyle that supports it, that you enjoy living, you feel good, and you have all that mental freedom that you can put into other things in your life, right? It's beautiful, okay? And so again, that this is where I'm saying, again, back to my raw food thing, if I pick X amount of pounds, but I have to put, 60, 70% of my mental energy into achieving that, you know what I mean? Is that really what I want to do? You know, and again, it's different for each person. It's not what I wanted to do. And so I'd rather put a couple more, live at a couple pounds higher and be able to have some freedom from all of that. Okay. So again, at the very least, ask yourself these questions and think about this. Okay. When you're formulating what the goal weight for you is. How does it affect your most important relationships? Okay. So again, this is important, and it's not because you're slimmer that it's going to, your most important relationships, it won't matter. You know what I mean? If you're 100 pounds more or 100 pounds less, it's really, I promise you, the most important relationships rarely have anything to do with the size you are. What they do have a lot to do with, though, is how you feel physically, your emotional state of mind, you know, day in and day out, week in, week out, your mental state of mind, the amount of patience you have, right? Your self-confidence, how you feel about yourself. All of these things have a huge impact on your relationships. Okay. And again, this goes both ways. There's a sweet spot, right? If you're 150 pounds overweight and you're scared and you're worried and you're freaking out, again, that's going to affect your relationships. Everything becomes about your weight. If all of a sudden you say, that's it, you know what I mean? I want to lose 150 pounds or 200 pounds and I'm going to live at this really, really extreme lightweight because that's what I think I should weigh, then everything becomes about you and your weight. And that doesn't help your relationships, right? So again, there's a happy middle. And a lot of times we just overlook it or don't think about it, okay? But take some time to think about it, because you put the work into this. And I'm telling you, this is like the first piece of the foundation, you know what I mean, of the success you're building here, is having the proper congruent weight for yourself. Okay, there we go. I don't know, we have a blank slide here. Oh, what's going on? What is going on? What's happening here? Okay, let me... I knew there was something missing there. Let me see if I can get this. So we get this. I don't know why that turned black just now. It's always something. All right. And then finally, you know, what other areas of your life improve at that weight and with that lifestyle? Okay. Notice, improve that weight and with that lifestyle, right? And why? Okay. And so again, professionally, right? If you're at your goal weight, you're living your goal lifestyle, you feel like the ideal version of you, what other areas of your life improve, right? Typically, professionally is going to improve, right? Because you're more of yourself. You have more mental energy to devote to it. You feel better about yourself. You're more confident, okay? And so, again, the more reasons you put on this, right? So I hope you're feeling the difference, right? When you say, I want to weigh X amount of pounds, I don't know. Yeah, it sounds great, but you're not really connected to it. When you start building it out, when you start teasing out the value of why you want to live at that weight, why you want to live that lifestyle, you give it more power, more energy. So let's talk about reaching your perfect weight. Okay. And so these are just a few suggestions. Obviously this program, we go into tons more of this, but I just want to give you a couple of them. As I was saying, you really want to make the weight loss secondary, right? It really is a means to an end. And so the other reason we do this is the weight loss takes a little while, right? It takes a little while for the weight to start to come off. But what doesn't take a little while is the benefits that you get from living that lifestyle, right? So again, when we talk about the habits, all of a sudden you start drinking more water, you start relaxing, you start practicing your breathing, you get more sleep and a better quality of it. You start nourishing your body, right? You start moving your body more. You start meditating, clearing your mind, slowing it down. You start practicing gratitude, feeling grateful, literally filling yourself up emotionally with a sense of gratitude. If you do all those things today, you feel like a brand new person tonight and tomorrow. It's instant. It's instant gratification. So again, the weight takes a little while for it to catch up, but internally, mentally, emotionally, physically, personally, professionally, when you start living as this version of yourself, the results are instant if you can get your mind off of just the weight, okay? So make the weight loss secondary. We still want to lose weight. We want to get down to a certain thing, but that's not all that's going on here. You're literally becoming the best version of yourself when you start living this way. And those results happen almost instantaneously, right? When you start, again, water, relaxation, breathing, sleep, nourishment, movement, meditation, gratitude. When you start, you do those all day today, tomorrow you wake up with more energy. You're in a better mood. You're happier. You're more fun to be around. You think clearer, right? Your body feels more comfortable. Okay, so but that's what we want, because when you feel like that version of yourself, guess what? You tend to eat better as well. All right, so again, because we're making the weight loss secondary, it doesn't mean we're making it really any less important. We're just focusing on the instant gratification we get, because it's natural as humans. We want instant gratification, and it's right there. There's tons and tons and tons of it, but it's just not the weight. The weight just takes a little bit longer. Okay, the next suggestion I make is to split it into two goals. I'm a big fan of this. And what I mean by that is that the first goal you set is a must goal. And so, for example, this could be, you know, like if we think in terms of the BMI chart, I have to be in the normal range, or at the very least, I have to be in the lower quadrant of the overweight range again. And that's relative for each person. Okay. So I want to be clear. If you've been 100 pounds overweight for the last 30 years, the must goal to me would be, you know, maybe it's, you know, I want to get under 200 pounds. You know, I have to live my life under 200 pounds. That's an absolute necessity. That's a must. And I'm just throwing that number out. Okay. So for some people it might be 150 pounds or 180 pounds. Again, you choose the weight that's a must. I have to live under that weight for my longevity, you know, to avoid disease, to be, you know, even some semblance of the person who I truly am. Okay. The next one I like to call is kind of my badass version of me, right? And so I like to split them into two goals. And I think thinking of it this way is very, very helpful, okay? Because for a lot of people, the kind of ultimate badass goal that you want to achieve when you're kind of at your best is kind of far away for a lot of people. It's going to take a while, okay? And so we want to break it down. And you can add even more if you want, okay? But I'm a big fan of at least the two. And one becomes a must. You know, I got to, because again, understand this. The reason I say two, listen, we're in this for the long term. Okay. And very few people talk about long-term weight loss, but here's the thing about long-term living at a lower weight for a long period of time. There's always going to be ups and downs in your life. Okay. So your weight is going to fluctuate sometimes, right? It's almost always going to fluctuate by 5 pounds or so, but sometimes life's just going to sucker punch you, you know, 3 or 4 times in a row. And it might fluctuate 10, 15 pounds, okay? It's not the end of the world. It happens. It happens to the best. It happened to me, right? A few years ago, I the double whammy. I moved into a house that we basically did over completely. And at the exact same time, we had a baby. And he's a baby that never slept. He did not sleep. So it was, you know, years of just being exhausted, okay? And so these things happen sometimes. But again, there was a goal. There was a weight goal I would never... If I got close to it, I'd kick on the jets. I got to get under that, okay? And then when everything returned to normal, I got back to my normal self. My kids started sleeping again. The house was back. You know, then I'm back to my badass numbers, okay? And if you don't like the word badass, you put whatever word you want to put on it, okay? But again, I like badass because it's like, you know, again, it's one of my clients. She loves calling herself that. And so it has a lot of connotation to it. Again, you choose the one you want. Whatever kind of your ideal version of you is, you know, again, at the weight, the lifestyle that would be the best version of you, that's what you can call that goal. Okay. But I'm a big fan of the two. Okay. And so the must is I'm never going to go above that weight again. Never. If I get close to it, that's when I kick in, you know, hyper gear, I'm going to move down. And then again, when things are going cool and back to normal, then you can work on getting down the badass goal. Okay. And then finally, it's committing to it. Okay. And this one is so important. So the first one is getting a congruent goal for yourself. And the next one is committing to it, you know, and there's a couple ways to do this. The big one, you know, I like is the grand gesture. And I mentioned this, I think last week or the week before, I just learned this in a book. And again, it's a great concept, but when something is important to us, it can be really helpful to make what he referred to as a grand gesture, which can be any number of things. So it's an investment of time. Maybe, you know, say you want to get, you know, in better shape. So maybe you go and sign up with a personal trainer, right? And so then you're talking about all three of those things. You're committing a time to it, you're committing energy to it, and you're committing some money to it in that sense. And so again, it could be, you know, one of those things or all three of them makes it even better. But it's when you decide, okay, I want to do this, it's doing some big, you know, kind of a show of, you know, so, some action you can take to really kind of send yourself the signal and other people, this is really important to me. And kind of going along with that, that concept is extending your time frame by a lot, right? And this is one of my favorite things to do. And so, again, so let me just give you an example of what I was thinking this week. If you think about the smartest, the most ambitious, the most talented, the most skilled, the most competitive people on the planet, right? You think what professions they're in, right? And a lot of times, you know, the doctor, lawyer, you know, engineers, physicists, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like really, really smart, intelligent people. And if you think about it, the least amount of time that they spend on mastering their craft or their area expertise is a absolute minimum is 6 years of college, right? That's an absolute minimum. And a lot of times it's up to 8-10 years. Okay. So that's the smartest, most talented people on the planet that it takes 6-10 years for them to master an area. Okay. So to think that you're going to master your weight in a month or 2 months, it's so goofy and it sets you up for failure. You know what I mean? It's like saying, I'm going to master the piano in the next 2 months. It's goofy and you would never say that. But people always do this with weight loss. They think they've already got it mastered. Now they just need to do it. No, you have to learn. Right? There's a bunch of things involved here. You know, there really is. And so, again, with the college frame, what I mean by that is I would suggest at the very least looking at this as like an associate degree, right? Which is a 2-year degree in college. And I would expect to, you know, I'm going to dedicate myself to this for 2 years and master this. Okay. Because in 2 years, I'll never have to think about it again. Of course, you'll still be thinking about it. I'm always tweaking a little bit, but it's basically my weight just runs itself because I have a lifestyle that I've engineered and implemented that it just follows on autopilot. It's kind of like brushing your teeth. I've got like 8 to 10 things a day that are just like that, that pretty much just maintain my weight and my health. Okay. And so you can have the exact same thing, but it takes a little while. It took me a little while. It took me a lot of effort and studying. And so I, you know, again, I would just assume and expect that it'll be the same for you. And I would frame it that way. Don't frame it like you know what to do and you just need to do it. That's like saying you know how to play the piano and you just need to do it when you don't know how to play it. Oh, I got to just speak Spanish. I know I just got to do it. No, you have to learn. You have to learn it. Same thing here. You have to learn about how you operate, how you think, how you feel, how you behave, and how to change and influence it. Okay. And so again, extend your time frame by a lot. Start thinking not only how long it's going to take you to master this, but then think to yourself 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the future, I want to live at X amount of pounds, that weight that you set for yourself. I want to live the rest of my life at this weight. How can I create a lifestyle that will support that? How can I create a lifestyle that I can follow when I'm 90 and enjoy it? That's a question that's going to give you a lot of wisdom and insight and help you really master this area. Okay. So I hope that stuff helps you. If you have any questions, you can type them into our fancy chat box. And if you want to talk, supposedly you can do that too. So let me see here. How about exercise? Hey, Connie, you want to talk? Can you talk on your computer? I'll test this out. Maybe. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see. I'm going to see if I can do this. Again, as I said, I'm telling you, this is more confusing than you'd think, everyone. Let me see if I can do this. She raised a hand. Let me see here. I'm trying to figure this out. This is crazy. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to do this. I appreciate your patience on this, though. This is there's like 500 things. There's so many options with this thing that I can't even unmute all. I'm going to try this. Let's just see what happens. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. Oh, okay. Look at this. Ding dong. Hey, Connie, you there? Hold on a second. I like this. I need one of these for my kids because I can mute you or unmute you. Hold on a second. Come on, unmute it.
Okay. Did this do it?
Look at that.
Okay.
Wow. All right, huh?
All right. Well, I'm getting my exercise because I have to press and hold the space key.
Oh, to talk?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That is crazy. That's not really helpful.
Gosh.
This is so funny. But it's working.
Oh, yeah. No, this is so much better. I'm just thrilled to be able to participate tonight. Jim, I know from talking with you, and you know from talking with me, my weight was at my ideal weight like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. 4 years ago at the most. And then below my ideal weight, and I started to eat to get it back up. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's been too efficient. So I come back to the metabolism question. Mm-hmm. You're at an age and a metabolism range that I think where your body pretty much burns and is efficient with what you eat. Now, my eating has changed a whole lot just in the last month. Mm-hmm. Especially you pointed out to me that, you know, the fast food industry is just using hypnosis on us. Anyway, now I just normally prefer to eat healthy foods that I make at home. Mm-hmm. And that's helped a lot. And I've gotten a lot more exercise recently, but I don't know if it's just a metabolism thing. I'm really wondering where that fits in.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great point. And I'll go one step further than even metabolism. And this is the reframe on this is that, yeah, metabolism is a real thing and hormones are a real thing and they change as we age. So that's real. And that's part of what I'm saying. When you go into this goal weight, you know, again, I say, I want to live at this weight forever. But like I said, you know, in 30 years, if I find living at this weight, you know, demands me to not eat, you know, again, I'll change it up a little bit. But here's the thing, and this is where I think you need a longer time frame, is that you've started to change your eating, and it's in very profound ways. And so as you change your eating and you start nourishing your body, you're obviously influencing your metabolism the big ways you change your metabolism and influence it by the foods that you're eating. You really change your hormonal structure, your hormone levels by what you're eating. Again, exercise is a factor as well, but the biggest one is what you're eating. And so it's the quality of the nutrition has a huge impact on your hormone levels. It's the amount of food you're eating has an impact as well. Exercise is a big part. Stress, the amount of sleep you're getting. Again, they have studies of sleep. You know, if you get a lack of sleep, it'll literally make you more insulin resistant. So again, we have to look at this always as a holistic thing. And then beyond even that, there's literally epigenetics, which is literally your genetic switches can be flipped based on your lifestyle. And so what I would suggest is that it's really not so simple as just, it was easier back in the day, and everyone references when they're younger and they could just cut out some calories and the weight just fell off of them. And now it's harder. But one of the ways we want to look at this is really weight is a consequence of your metabolism. And they refer to it now as metabolic disorder. And that's not a term you hear a whole lot yet, but it's going to be one you're going to hear a whole lot of. And I think it's important because it gives us a much richer understanding of what weight is, as opposed to this very simplistic calorie in, calorie out model, which again, ultimately is going to influence your weight the most. Calories has the biggest impact on it, but there's a lot of other things at play here. So what I mean by that is that maybe gone are the days when you can just cut out a few hundred calories and the weight just changes in a week or two. And maybe, you know, at some point it seems that some people are in a situation where they need to apply a holistic approach. And again, the results are just slower. It sucks. But at this point, you know, it does, right? Let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be longer. However, it's also kind of a litmus test. It's a test. If you can't, I always say to people, I'm say, well, you know, whatever you're planning, you think it's going to take you a month or 2 months, quadruple it. 10 times it. And if someone freaks out, then I say, well, how long do you want to keep the weight off for? Because if you're only thinking about losing it in 2 months, well, what are you going to do in 4 months, 5 months? Are you just going to put the weight back on? And so it becomes a lifestyle first approach. And you create the lifestyle first. And then again, after a number, again, it's different for different people in different situations. But a lot of times the lifestyle creates a different metabolism. It literally, this is the way I would think of it. It heals your metabolism.
And well, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not just, you're not just losing weight. As we get older, we're not just losing weight because literally we need to heal our metabolism. I was thinking of my daughter, she broke her finger last week and it's a real minor break and her pinky finger got jammed. And I saw the x-ray, I can't even see it. But so they look at that and they say, okay, it's going to take, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks to heal. And I was thinking, I was laughing. I'm like, okay, that's a tiny, tiny little break in her finger. And they're saying it's going to take 6 or 8 weeks to heal. Now, when we think about our weight and we think our metabolism, we don't think about, oh, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks for that to heal so that you can start to lose weight normally. But that's really what's going on. Again, yeah. That's a metabolic disorder, really is a combination of a bunch of different factors. And I think it's a much richer way to think about our weight as opposed to just the calorie in, calorie out. And so if you were consisting in eating a lot of food that had a lot of sugar in it, there was a lot of process in it, a lot of refined carbs, you've been spiking your insulin levels. You've been making yourself insulin resistant. You've been increasing cortisol levels and all this stuff's going on. And so all of a sudden you eat a little bit less calories or you start eating a little bit better. We think, oh, okay, well, next week I should start getting some results. It just doesn't work that way sometimes, you know? So I don't know if that helps you, but again, what I'm saying really is start thinking on a longer time frame here. And the way you make peace with that is to create a lifestyle that makes you feel good now, because I know, and I know this already, but when, now that you're eating better, does it feel better? What is better about eating better for you right now?
Oh, it's a lot easier to make a choice, and it's extremely easy to drive past a fast food place. It's like I've developed an aversion to it.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel self-image wise, even just starting there and confidence?
Oh, very, very much more in control.
Mm-hmm. Does that make you feel good?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm sleeping. You know, I use that. I think I told you this before. I use that bedtime app on my iPhone, and I was sleeping quite well, 7.5 to 8 some odd hours. I started setting my wake up time for no less than 9 hours.
Wow.
And I started sleeping 9 hours. It's like by putting it on the app, I gave myself permission to sleep. But, you know, I mean, I wake up, I feel good. I have a high level of energy. I think one of the things that has changed is, and I talked to my daughter and her husband who are here visiting, because they've both quit their high stress jobs to have a traveling lifestyle for a while. Mm-hmm. But you get addicted to that adrenaline drop.
I agree. Yeah.
And I used that for, you know, like 13 plus years. And I realized up until maybe a year ago, or maybe even less, I could still feel at times when I get up in the morning, I'm getting ready. All of a sudden I could tell I was having adrenaline pump into my system. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why. It didn't have to go anywhere.
Right.
You know? So I'm thinking, like you said, metabolism, hormones, and adrenaline with everything else is another hormone cocktail.
Right.
Maybe my body's just trying to figure out what to do with a lifestyle that is pleasant,
right,
not stressed,
right,
but very motivated towards, you know, goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that you added in there that, you know, we want to still be that weight when we're 90.
Right.
Because, right. Yeah, I mean, when you feel really good and you're over 60, it's something that you can be grateful for, and it's something you want to commit to
right,
doing whatever it takes to keep going.
Right. So it's funny, right? See, like even what you're saying there, it's like, it's a lot of subtle things that you're becoming aware of. It's like in the morning, You know what I mean? Like maybe you notice the adrenaline, but maybe it's less than it was. And you just realize, wow, I was really, you know, just living off adrenaline for a long time there.
Oh, and yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, as you create this new lifestyle, this new way of being, it's partly a process of discovery. You know what I mean? Like you're learning these subtle things, but the more you can focus in on, and that's why I always say, like, the more you can focus in on really the 8 habits, you'll start to notice their consequences, which a lot of times are just subtle. Like again, you have more energy. You feel a little more clear-headed. You feel better about yourself. You get a little boost of confidence every time you drive by a fast food place now. It strengthens that new self-image and resolve you have for yourself. And so I would look at it like I'm creating this lifestyle that's so nice, and it's got all these little boosts along the way. And again, over time, this is what I always say to myself still, if I live this way, you know, for the next 2 months, the next 6 months, the next year, I can only imagine that it's going to do good things for my weight. And at the very least, this is a huge point. I didn't get into this yet, but I'll do a lesson on this soon. One of the best things you can do, right, is you change up your lifestyle, because the truth is, at a certain point, you're not really sure how to lose the weight. If weight was just a calorie in, calorie out thing, and if it was just very mathematical, there would be a weight calculator somewhere in the world where you could just punch your stats in, figure out how many calories to eat, and you would lose that weight. That right. doesn't exist, right? Everyone's different. And so, you know, it's an unpleasant thought, and no one wants to think about that, but it's the truth, and we all know it because we all have experienced it. Sometimes the weight comes off better. Most of the time, it doesn't come off as quick as we expect it. And so really, we got kind of, if we go about with this lifestyle approach first, what happens is, again, the best case scenario is we install this lifestyle thing and the weight starts coming off. The other situation, though, is not so bad either, where you create a structured way of living and you've really, you've addressed a lot of the holistic things, hormonally, stress chemicals, you know, mindset stuff, energy, you've addressed this stuff. And now say you've done that for 6 months and you're feeling better, you got more energy, all the rest of it, but the weight hasn't come off the way you thought it has. But now you have a structure and you know how you live and the weight that it creates. And now with a clear mind and a healthy lifestyle, you can look at your lifestyle and say, where can I cut some calories out? And then you can cut those calories out and go about your life. And again, almost every situation when you do that, the next couple of months, then you're going to lose some of the weight, you know, and that's typically how it works. But it, you know, again, what it comes down to so often is the time frame. And we underestimate, you know, how long it's going to take. And so I always say double and triple, quadruple it. And if that freaks you out, then come up with a better lifestyle system, because the lifestyle system should be exciting. Like with you sleeping more, for example, is that something that's hard? Like, do you struggle to sleep 9 hours now, or do you look forward to sleeping 9 hours?
Oh, no. I feel that if I can sleep 9 hours, that, you know, that's pretty good. It doesn't happen every night, but mm-hmm. it's rare that I sleep less than 8. Mm-hmm. 7.5 is a minimum, but I'm going to bed much earlier because my lifestyle pretty much cuts out television. So right. I just pack it in, you know, by 8 o'clock, and I go upstairs and I take a bunch of stuff to read, and you know, I'm asleep in 5 minutes. So right. it's just a weightlifting exercise. Carry sure. the books up and down the stairs.
Sure, there you go. That's a twofer. So yeah, that's a great routine, and you get a little exercise too. Yeah. But so the sleep thing's a great example. It's like that. The sleep. And I tell you, like, so the sleep. I always want to get 8 hours of sleep. And again, you know, refer to it as a sleep opportunity. Sometimes you get the full 8 hours. Sometimes you just lie in bed and you're kind of up for a couple hours. But either way, you're giving yourself 8 hours every night. I expect to do that for the rest of my life. Drinking the amount of water I want to drink. You know, I want to drink at least 3 liters of water every day for the rest of my life. I want to meditate, you know, at least 5 days a week for the rest of my life. I want to stretch every night before I go to bed for, you know, at least a couple minutes at the minimum for the rest of my life. Not because I love discipline and I love structure and that's what I get off on. I don't. It just feels better. All those things make me feel better. They make me feel like the best version of myself. You see?
You've encouraged me a lot about structure, and I've implemented, as you know, I've implemented more of that. Mm-hmm. And it's what you've always said is, if you have structure, you have to make fewer decisions.
Right. That's right.
And it goes hand in hand with a more minimalist lifestyle, but I find it very rewarding.
Yeah.
To just have, right now I consider it a rather minimum amount of structure, but it's enough to give me a framework to get through my days quite easily.
Right.
And with much less stress.
Yeah. There's a great book called The Paradox of Choice, and it's just about this. Yeah. But, you know, if you look at our history, our brains didn't evolve to have to make so many decisions, you know, so it's somewhat unnatural. And again, this is always a key point. I always like to remind people of this. Mental energy uses up the same glucose in your blood that physical energy does. And so if you're constantly thinking, making decisions, there's a thing called decision fatigue. It literally tires us out the same way that physical activity does. And so the more of these habits and routines and lifestyle that you kind of structure and put on autopilot, it's just your brain likes it. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be everything. But again, the core things, just like your toothbrushing routine is very, very important. Saves you a lot of trouble if you do it.
A lot of money.
Yeah, and a lot of money, right? Exactly. And so it's the exact same thing with these other habits. They really, and again, I always stress this, that it's a minimum of them. You know, again, that's why we have the master ritual, which is really just a minimum of, you know, a few minutes a day, you know, could save you a lot of trouble, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so, again, what I would suggest to you is that you commit and focus on lifestyle first. And get it to the point, it's the question of how can I create and implement a lifestyle that I really enjoy, that's fun, that's comfortable, that makes me feel good. And then I think if I live this way, this is where the kind of the faith comes in a little bit, where you're kind of like, well, if I live that way, I think some of the weight will come off. That's what I believe. And then you put it in place, then you see. And again, you're already feeling better. You're setting yourself up in a lot of ways that are beneficial to weight loss. And then you see, you know, did this help me lose the weight? Did it not? That's what I was referring to last year. Again, I cut some calories out and I was surprised when it didn't change, but then I just changed it up again. Okay, but I had a structure in place that allowed me to do that. And so once I figured out that little switch that worked for me at that point in time, which was adding the salad, you know, again, now it's just there and I just do it on autopilot. And so again, you know, you don't have to put everything on autopilot, but again, the core, you know, pieces of your lifestyle you want to put on autopilot.
Right. So, well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for getting on the phone here with me too and testing this out.
Yeah. You like
this? This is good?
Really cool. You made a good decision here.
Nice. Good. All right, everyone. Well, cool. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Connie, for getting on the phone there with me. And everyone, have a great week. And I'll talk to you all next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone.